ministry. We have a jail and prison ministry, not only in New York, but we also work with people across the country. Matter of fact, a lot of people we work with here in the state of Pennsylvania, and technology has made that available so that we're not just stuck in one place, where we can reach people, you know, across the country. But I'm not going to get into the ministry until later on tonight. Pastor asked me to present the ministry tonight, but I just wanted to let you know who we were and what we do. And God has been merciful unto us. God saved me out of that lifestyle. I spent many years in jails and prisons across the United States, and God pulled me out of that, and he saved me. Well, how did he save me? By the foolishness of preaching.
Amen.
It's by the foolishness of preaching that those who believe get saved. And so God has called me back into that ministry, and not only has he called me into that ministry, but we travel around preaching, and I love to preach. You see, when I lived for the devil, I lived hard for the devil. Now I live for Jesus Christ, I live hard for him.
Yeah.
And I won't give up, and I thank God for his goodness. I thank God for his mercy. So if I get stirred up a little bit up here, that's just because I'm excited about what Jesus Christ done in my life. I'm excited about what he can do in people's lives.
Yeah.
And so I do get stirred up, but thank God for it. Thank God for his goodness that we're able to sit here, because there's many places we could be today. We could be dead and in hell. We could be out there on the streets as a drug addict. We could be in a jail or prison. We could be in a mental hospital or rehab. But God, in his mercy, has us sitting in the house of God this morning. Yeah. How many of you thanked him for coming to church this morning? How many of you prepared your hearts to come in and hear the word of God? How many of you said, you know what, God, I'm expecting you to show up because the word of God is going to be preached. Not because who's preaching. You know, I'm good at doing the foolish part. But God is good at doing the saving part.
Yeah.
God is good at doing the change in those lives part. That's what he does when the word of God is preached. But how many in this room today honestly prepared their hearts to come to church to hear what my God had for them? Hey, I already started in the piano playing and the singing. Almost couldn't contain myself right there sitting in that church pew. But God in his mercy had me just to shut my mouth and go ahead and just praise God in my heart. Why is a good God? He's a merciful God. And look, you don't have to have my background of coming out of gangs and 15 years of opioid addiction and jails and prisons and boys. You don't have to have my background to have the same blood that I did. You see, it took the same blood to save you as it did me. If you grew up in a church pew your whole entire life, you needed Jesus Christ just as much as I did.
Amen.
But people look at us and go, well, man, look at how you live. Well, look how you live in your heart sitting in a church pew. My goodness, you live those same things inwardly that I did outwardly. I was just crazy enough to live them on the outside. You live them on the inside of your heart and think you're okay, and you're not. Jesus came to save all. That means even the good little religious people need to be saved. You ask my wife about that. According to this world, she was a good little religious girl. And I don't know, almost 12 years ago in April, this April will be 12 years ago that my wife got saved. She needed Jesus Christ just as much as a person like myself. She needed Jesus Christ, if not more. Why? Because she was lost in her goodness. She was lost in her, well, I'm a good tax-paying, law-abiding citizen. You see, people get caught up, well, I'm a good person. I'm not out there breaking the law. I'm not out there doing those things contrary to man. It's not about what you do contrary to man that matters. It's about what you do against the holy God. That's what matters. And see, people don't understand that. So what's it come through? Well, the foolishness of preaching. Here's the fool. God called the fool and said, go preach. I said, okay, I'll go. And I love preaching. And so anyway, turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. If you got a Bible here today, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We'll just spend a few minutes here. He already told me what time I need to be done, and I will be done in that time. Why? Because sometimes you can grieve the spirit by going too long. People get tired, but they don't want to listen anymore. And, I mean, unless they're in a football game or watching sports or something, they're wide awake all day long. They never want to fall asleep. You get in church and start hearing the preacher, all of a sudden you can't keep your eyes open. Say amen to that, because that's a reality. All of a sudden, everything in the world starts floating in their head when the preacher starts. Why? Because that's where their heart is. You want to know where your heart's at? Just listen to your mouth. Listen to what you're thinking of while the preaching's going on. Watch what your body is doing when the preaching's going on. You'll know exactly where your heart's at. It's easy to pay attention to those things we enjoy. Right, brother? You mean to tell me you don't enjoy preaching? You have a hard time staying awake? Have a hard time sitting? What's the problem? That's a reality. That's just a little heart check before we get into this thing. Where's our hearts with Jesus? Because I tell you where his heart was when he hung on that cross. His heart was asphyxiated on every one of us in this room.
Amen.
That's where his heart was. He could have came down from there. He could have called a legion of angels to come and deliver him from that cross, but he did not. He stood there. Why? Because he's seen our face. And he said, I'm dying for that one. We come in church and all of a sudden we're tired and want to fall asleep. I can't believe it. Imagine if Jesus Christ got that way. You know, I'm just a little tired from getting beat with those cat of nine tails. I think I'll wait to go on the cross to a later date. That will catch me a nap real quick. Well, look at Romans 8:16. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 says this. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. I pray that you move me out of the way, Lord, and use my lips to preach your word, Lord. I pray that you help me, Lord, and give me the words to speak here today. I pray that you convict hearts and change lives. I pray that we will leave here differently than when we came in this place. Church is about a place to come and get help, Lord, to help us live in this cruel world, to help us live in this evil world. We need to come in the house of God, hear the preaching, and then take it home with us and live it, Lord. And I ask that you'd help us to live it today. Give us ears to hear and hearts to be obedient, and we'll give you all the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' holy and precious name we do pray, amen and amen. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, it says, the Spirit, that's a capital S, Spirit. So we know that we are dealing with a different spirit than ours. Why? Because it says that the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. That's a small s spirit. My friends, the letters in your Bible are a difference. If somebody is changing them in your Bible, you are getting the wrong message. How do you know who's doing the work in your life if you can't tell what spirit is working in your life? Here this says the Spirit. That means that God's Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit that we're his children. But today, you know what's going on? People are taking their spirit and trying to witness with their own spirit that they're children of God. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it's just God's Spirit that witnesses to your spirit that you're his child. But every day, all day long, people are walking around, no, I'm saved, no, I'm saved, no, I'm saved. That's their spirit. That's the spirit of man that God put inside of them. And they're trying to take that same spirit and convince themselves that they're a child of God. Let me ask you this here. You know, sister, none of your girls have to walk up to you and convince you that they're your daughter. They know that instantly. That's what happens when a person gets saved. My son doesn't have to walk up to me and go, Dad, am I yours? You see, when a person gets saved, they don't have to worry about that no more.
Yeah.
Why? Because the Spirit, capital S Spirit, witnesses with our spirit.
That's
that
right.
We're his children.
Yeah.
He put a spirit inside of us and says, no, you're my child. I'm walking around all day long going, gosh, I wonder if I'm God's child. If you're walking around questioning whether you're God's child or not, maybe you ought to examine yourself. But that's a curse word in Baptist churches today. Tell somebody to examine themselves. Try to tell somebody to look and see, do I really have this thing? Well, that's a curse word. A lot of preachers, we travel around as missionaries, and a lot of preachers today have no longer have the power with that book. They no longer have the power with the Holy Ghost to get their messages and go out there and preach them. And so instead of preaching people out of hell, they're preaching them into it. They've lost the power with God today. It's not a wonder why our churches are closing by the dozens. What are they doing, brother? They're taking these professions, and they're allowing people to hold on to these professions no matter if there's any change in their life or not. Let me just tell you this. The God who spoke this world into existence, when he stepped into my life, I knew it. And you know what that did? That changed my life. Why would you want to serve a God who leaves you the same way you've always been? Why would I want to serve a God who left me an alcoholic? Why would I want to serve a God who leaves me addicted to drugs for 15 years? Why would I want to serve a God who left me out there when my heart was full of hatred and bitterness? Why would I want to serve a God that couldn't change my life? You see, I wanted out of what I was in. But the world couldn't teach me how to get out of it with AA and NA and all those. They couldn't teach me how to get out. All they would do was put band-aids on me and send me back out there to live the same way that I've always done. And you know, I turned over a lot of new leaves. But you know what happened to those leaves that got turned over? They turned brown and died. And I went right back to doing the same things. Why? No heart change. 12 years ago, Jesus Christ came into my life and he changed me.
Yeah.
He didn't leave me the same person that I was. He didn't leave me doing the same things that I did. That's he didn't leave me with the same thoughts and the same desires that I had. He changed my life from the inside out, not the outside in. Just because I have a shirt and tie doesn't mean I'm saved. That's not what makes me saved. You know what makes me saved? Is Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
How about that? Ain't that wonderful? And so when Jesus Christ moved into my life, his spirit, capital S spirit, witness to my spirit that I'm his child. No longer, brother, do I have to roam wondering, am I a child of God? Am I a Christian? I don't have to worry about that because his spirit inside of me confirms it when I pick up this book of the Lord. Help me today. I'm your child and help me. You know what? This book confirms inside of me that I'm his child.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah.
Why? Because he put a spirit in me. Put a spirit in me. And he uses that spirit. I want to take a little bit of look at that today with the time that we have left. You don't have to turn there, but I just want to ask you this question. What spirit is witnessing to you today? What spirit is witnessing to you? Is it your own spirit witnessing to your spirit that you're his child? Or do you have the spirit of God that's inside of you that's witnessing that you're his child? You ought to check that. You ought to be careful about that stuff. You know why? Because eternity is at stake.
Yeah.
Brother, people play Russian roulette with their soul, and they're okay with it. Every day they walk by, well, maybe I'll have one more day. Maybe I'll have another chance. And they're taking it, and they're spinning it over and over. And they'll let those doubts flood their mind. They'll let them doubts flood their heart. And they'll keep going and be afraid to pick up that book and seek out. Hey, let me tell you something. If you're having doubts, search it until you find Jesus. If you don't find Jesus, get saved, and he'll be there.
Yeah.
Everybody's so afraid to, well, I'm afraid to examine. I'm afraid that I might find that I'm lost. Good, I'm glad you will. And by the way, can I say this? Why would the devil make you want to doubt and figure out that you're lost? Why would he want to do that?
He wants to keep you.
The devil doesn't want you saved. So therefore, why do he make you doubt so that you can realize that you are lost? When this King James Bible is being preached, and the Holy Ghost of God is moving across these pews, I can tell you one thing for sure, it ain't the devil making you doubt. If we don't have any protection in that, Zach, when that holy book is being preached and the Holy Ghost is moving and God is moving in this place, who has more power, God or the devil, to make you doubt? You know what his disciple says? Why do you make us doubt? Tell us plainly. Why would he make them doubt? Because he wanted them to figure out exactly where they stood with him. Why would the devil want you to figure out where you stand with Jesus? He wants you to go to hell. He don't care if you ever figure out if you're saved or not.
That's right.
Don't that make sense? I know it's hard for people to understand that. Is this my water back there? Can I have one of these waters? Thank you so much. I appreciate it. If it wasn't, I would still drink it. But look. The devil doesn't care if you realize, if you figure out you're lost or not. God wants you to realize. God wants you to examine. And that's why he's given us a spirit. Today, people are trying to take their spirit and witness with their spirit that they're children of God. But the Bible says in Galatians 4:6, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Who sent that spirit? God sent that spirit. In Galatians 4:6, it said God sent a spirit. Where? Into our hearts. Why did he do that? So now we can cry, Abba, Father. You see, before I was saved, I couldn't cry, Abba, Father. God wasn't my father as an unsaved man. But now I have that spirit inside of me. What did it say in Galatians 4:6? Who sent that spirit? God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts that we may cry, Abba, Father. Ain't that a wonderful thing that God puts a spirit in us at salvation, and now we have that connection with God? You know, we always talk about there being a disconnect between man and God when there's loss. Well, guess what? That's fixed now. That gulf is affixed. Jesus Christ took that. Now we're one, so God puts a spirit inside of us so we can commune one with another. Now we can cry, Abba, Father. It's not, I couldn't do that in my own spirit. If I could do that in my own spirit, why did I need Jesus then? 1 John 4:1, it says this, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Why? Because there's the spirit of man, there's the spirit of the devil, there's the spirit of Antichrist. There are many spirits that are going around out there. And you know what it says? Try them spirits to see whether they are of God. How do I do that? In that wonderful book that we have sitting here called the King James Bible. It will show you. It will work in your heart. That's why it says it knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That thing knows, man. You know what made me fall in love with the King James Bible when I was in prison? I did prison time in Florida. I did prison time up north in Vermont. I did prison time in New York. That's where I did my last bit for armed robbery. But you know what started working in my heart to show me where I was? Because for sure, society couldn't do it. They kept trying to load me up with meds. They wanted to keep me on 10, I was on, what, 10, 12 pills a day for bipolar disorder, anger disorder, explosive anger disorder, depression. I mean, PTSD, you name it, they had me on meds. When one medicine didn't work, they put me on another one. When that one didn't work, they put me on another one. Didn't help me. Didn't change me. I had the same heart. Hey, I got saved 12 years ago. Within 6 months, I was off every single pill.
Amen.
Why? Do you know I'm not in recovery anymore, brother? I'm recovered. I'm not sick. Jesus Christ delivered me. He came in and he changed my life. He took those things away from me. I don't struggle with that stuff anymore. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't have an effect on me. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives inside of me, and it can keep me. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Is that the truth or not?
Amen.
That's the Spirit in us, and he delivers us from those things.
Hallelujah.
He changes our heart. He changes our minds. He changes the way we think and our desires. That's what he does. Jesus. You know what's happening today? There's a disease growing through the churches. It's a disease of unbelief. People no longer believe that Jesus Christ can change lives. That's why they hold on to somebody's profession and say, they prayed that prayer with their whole heart. Since when did you become the Holy Ghost? Since when did you become God to know how they prayed that prayer? By the way, I don't see a place in it where prayer saved anybody. I thought Jesus Christ saved people.
Yeah.
Is that the truth or not? Of course it is. And what does he do? Does he leave us barren? And does he, no, you know what it says? The woman with the issue of blood said, if I could just give to Jesus Christ, I shall be made half. Not what she said. Well, maybe he'll help me. Not what she said. The man that had the boy with the devils, you know what he says? If thou canst help. So many people come to Jesus Christ with the if. You keep coming to Jesus Christ with if, and you'll stay the same way you've always been. You come to him and say, Lord, this is what I'm struggling with. This is where I need help. I have faith that you can take care of that. I know that you can take these things from me. You know what happened with that woman with the issue of blood? She said, if I can just get to Jesus Christ, I'll be made whole. Why? Because Jesus Christ makes a person whole.
Amen.
Did he take everything away at once? No, he did not. But you know what happened? Things changed in my life. The problem is people aren't changing anymore. They're still birthed. They're born dead. When you're born alive, you change. He takes those things from you and puts in new things. It's what he does. He changes people's lives. My goodness, you know what used to make me hate God when I was in prison? As I would watch these inmates come in and out of jail, in and out of prison, in and out of jail, in and out of prison, and claim Jesus Christ, but yet their life was still the same mess it's always been. Why would I want something like that? Well, I wanted out of what I was in. I was sick and tired of being in the gangs. I was sick and tired of being out there on the streets. I was sick and tired of having to sleep in bushes at night. I was sick and tired of having, where am I going to get my next fix? I was sick and tired of being alone. I wanted out of what I was in. But I'll tell you what, brother, religion never did that to me. I tried religion for years, and jailhouse religion never changed me. And now people are playing church religion.
Help
and it's not changing them one single bit. Why? They don't have that spirit in them. If you got Jesus Christ in you, he's not going to leave you the same way you've always been. My children grew up in church. They don't know any different, right? Thank God for that. It's totally different than my life. But my kids, because they grew up in church with me, do they get a free ride in heaven? You know, they don't get their ticket punched because I'm a preacher. because I'm a missionary, because they grew up in church. They need to be saved. Yeah. You go, well, could you tell? Hey, they didn't go out there and live the life that I live. They didn't go out there and become a drug addict or alcoholic. They didn't run around those gangs and stuff. You said, could you tell a difference in their life? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Brother, it made a huge difference in their life. They grew up in church. They grew up around Christianity. And when Jesus Christ stepped into my son's life, his attitude changed. The way he answered me and his mother, the way he looked at the world, the way he separated himself, the way he talked, the way he walked, the way he dressed, all changed on his own with the Holy Ghost inside of him. I didn't have to do that to him. My daughter, you know what? Inside of her, she'd be like this. I'd be like, honey, you got to go out there and do so and so. And she'd say, yes, Dad, with her mouth. But in her heart, she's like, I can't believe he's asking me to do this. You know what happened when she got saved? That all changed. Ain't that a miracle? That changed inside of her. And she realized. And she confessed. She said, Dad, my goodness, I knew that some things were wrong. And she goes, but I still did them anyway. Why? Because she was full of iniquity. Inside, she hated her parents. But on the outside, she did the wonderful works and made it look real religious. Why? Because they grew up around that. So they emulated. They took upon themselves what they grew up, but without Christ. And there are so many people doing that in jails and prisons. And there are so many people that are doing that in church today. Without Christ. There's no spirit in them that's witnessing to their spirit that they're children of God. You see, there's a spirit that God gives to us that will show us, hey, you're my child. You're my child and I love you. You ever wonder how people can go through such hard times and make it through such hard, exhausting things? It's because the spirit of God is in them. That's their child. He's going to take care of them through that. Many people are still facing the world with their own spirit, convincing their spirit that they're okay. Well, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, come here real quick. 1 John chapter 5. And look at this. It's a good study to go and do. Go study the spirits in your Bible. It took me about 7 months to go through every single time the word spirit is in your King James Bible. I tell you what, man, it gave me a whole new outlook on everything because it breaks down who's doing what. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, who's doing what. And it breaks it all down in those lowercase and capital S letters from the Old Testament to the New Testament. I'm telling you, it's wonderful. You'll love it. How do you study? I study by doing word studies. That's what I use. You don't use commentaries? No, I do not. I don't even read books. Because a book is going to give me a man's opinion. I don't need man's opinion. I need God's opinion on this matter. I grew up underneath a man's opinion, and man's opinion never did me any good, so therefore, I need God's opinion. You know what? Those people who wrote the books, right? And there's some good books out there. Am I right, brother? There's some good books out there. By the way, who taught those men? The Holy Ghost taught those men. Why can't he teach me then? The problem is today, brother, people got lazy. Because everybody else preaches this. Everybody else already studied that. They don't go and do it for themselves. My goodness, go study that Bible for yourself and let God sit down and show you. Man, I tell you what, it's so different from when you read something from what somebody else wrote to what this Bible wrote. You know what's going on today? I've sat down with people and said, hey, how you doing today? Good. And we start having a conversation. And we'll start talking about a certain subject. And they'll say, well, you know, so-and-so wrote a book on that subject. I'll say, well, you know, the King James Bible says this. They go, oh, no, brother, somebody wrote this that's totally different. You know what you can do with that book and what they wrote? You can go ahead and burn that thing.
Yeah.
You can go ahead and toss that thing out the window. I want nothing to do with it. Yeah. I'll take what the Holy Ghost has to tell me out of this book. I'll sit down with God and let him teach me what he said he would in John chapter 14, verse 26, when he said he'll teach me all things. Now, either he will or he won't. I believe that whole, brother, I kid you not, I believe with all my heart that God can teach me just as well as he can teach Charles Spurgeon.
Amen.
Why can't he? Study to show thyself approved to who? God. We're too busy showing ourselves to men. Why don't we study to show ourselves approved to God? And by the way, studying and reading are two different things. Everybody's so used to reading devotionals, but that Bible says to study. Why? Because you're showing yourself how serious you are with God. Your devotional is a good thing. That's between you and God. That's just a little thing that you do to appease your little religiousness. But God says this, if you really want to be serious about the matter, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman W-O-R-K. By the way, that's another swear word in the church today. And studying is a work, and people don't want to work, so there you think they're going to study? Study that thing. Let God show you. It'll change your life. Change your life. It'll change the way you think. It'll change your actions. It'll change everything about you. He's a good God. Look what he says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. Here it is. And it is the Spirit, capital S Spirit, that beareth witness. Why? Because the Spirit is truth. My friends, our spirit is not of truth. His spirit is of truth. It is God that reveals those deep things to us. It's not our spirit that reveals them unto us, but God. Hey, how about Peter? He's walking with Jesus Christ. And he asked Jesus, Jesus Christ asked Peter, he said, who do you say I am? He says, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood have not showed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. God wants to reveal things to every one of us that are sitting in this room today out of this book. If we'll just get into it out without man's opinions, without what they have to say, just get in this book and let God the Father show you. If you have the Spirit of God in you, he will reveal it to you. He promises us that. Do you believe it? Again, one of the biggest diseases that's running rampant through the churches today is unbelief in what God can do. He can teach us that book. We don't have to run everywhere. Now, I'm not against books. And if you want to read that, wonderful. Read it. Learn. Okay? They're tools. But don't you ever put it before a Bible. How many of you read those things? You don't have to raise your hand. But if you do, let me just suggest this. Have your Bible open when you're reading them because you're going to find mistakes. Guarantee it. When I first got saved, I went in there and I read all those things. And I started opening up my Bible and preparing them. I go, oh, whoa. That's not right. And people, you give me 5 minutes. I don't know anybody in here, but I think mostly you would say you would not change a word in this book, right? You wouldn't change them.
Neither.
But yet, when I spend 5 minutes with somebody, they've already changed about 10 things in that Bible. Why? Because they're getting them from what man said. They're getting them from what man said. And most people don't even realize that's not even in their Bible because they're not paying attention to what they're reading. You should know the truth, and the truth will
make you free.
Who said set? Set free is not in your Bible. It's make free. Made free. Two different words. You think they're that different? Let me show you. And I'm not picking it, but I'm just giving you an example. There are many things. How many times do you find the word bronze in your Bible? When I hear men talking, zero. It's brass. Brass and bronze are not the same thing. Not even from the same time period. Totally two different materials at the time periods, okay? Who told you that? I learned that from my Bible. I learned that from studying brass and bronze. God asked for brass, not bronze, ever, in that Bible, ever. I can guarantee you that. Is it that big of a difference? It does. It changes the whole thing in the tabernacle. It changes the whole thing in the Bible when you don't know those words. And then you go out there and you tell somebody that, and you're telling them a different gospel. Not even one that's in this Bible. But we say we wouldn't change a word, but we do it all the time. And we get that from man's opinion when they write things in books and take shortcuts. So set. In order to set something, it has to be already in existence. I can set these glasses anywhere I want because they're already in existence. But to make or be made means it does not exist until that very moment it's made. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That means at the very moment that you get saved, Jesus Christ gives you something that you never had. He was what sin for us? He was made sin for us. He was never sin before that, was he?
No.
Was Jesus Christ sin before he was made sin? No. It didn't say he was set sin for us. It said he was made sin for us. That means until that very moment that our sins went on top of him, he wasn't sin. He was made into something he never was before. It never existed until that moment. He took those sins upon himself. Those words make a big difference in your Bible. And when you're studying, I'm just telling you now, it will lead you in places that you should not go. Isn't that important? Man, it's that important. And I'm going to tell you this today. If you have the Spirit of God inside of you, you're going to want to correct that. Why? It's been exposed. It's because his spirit, 1 John 5:6, it's because his spirit is truth. Okay, his spirit is truth. Our spirit is not of truth. That's why God had to put his spirit inside of us. This is the same spirit that bears witness of the truth in Christ. It's the same spirit that witnesses the truth in us where we stand with him. Go with me, if you would, to the book of John, chapter 1. Very excellent book, man. I mean, what a wonderful book the book of John is. But one of my favorite books. As a matter of fact, I'm teaching a Bible study on Tuesday nights. We're going through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Just wonderful truth in those books. I love the Bible. I love to teach it. I love to preach it. I had a friend of mine who just passed away. He was a missionary to Rome. His last name was Holman. So Holman to the Romans, where they called themselves Jamie Holman. Jamie Holman was his name. He goes, I'm trying to learn how to teach, right? I want to learn how to teach. And what I mean by that is to try to keep a coolness about myself and teach something. I go, man, I struggle with that. He goes, oh, brother. He goes, I've been saved almost 30 years. He goes, I've been trying to teach for a long time. He goes, I just gave up trying to teach. He goes, now I treach. I go, what is treaching? He goes, it's teaching and preaching at the same time. So that's what I do not treach. I try to teach a little bit and preach a little bit. But look what it says here in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Ain't that something? We just heard about that in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. He's the one that gives us the Spirit. He's the one that gives us the power to become the sons of God. It's not by anything that we do whatsoever. Salvation is not something we do. It's not something we earn. It's something that God does, and he gives to repentant sinners that believe. It's what he gives. And it goes on and it says this, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to be the sons of God, even to them that trust on his name. No, my friend, believe on his name. You know what the problem is with prison today? Everybody has come in there and pounded them with trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Trust him as your Savior. Trust him as your Savior. You won't find one time in your Bible where it tells you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. It tells you to believe. How do you know? Because I did a word study on it. 187 times in the New Testament, in the book of John, in the New Testament, the book word believe is in that book. 87 times in the book of John alone, it tells you to believe. And what is he talking about every one of those times? Salvation. 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 A person must believe before they can trust. Don't believe me? Go to Psalm 78, verse 22. It tells you, because they believed not, they trusted not in his salvation. And it starts all the way back in the Old Testament. Okay, belief. People used to come up to me when I was in prison and say, hey man, don't you want to trust in Jesus for your Savior? I say, I don't trust anyone. And now you want me to trust this invisible God? What do you think had to happen to me, sister? That's right. God took that Bible. He opened up that King James Bible to me. I didn't grow up in any kind of religion. I didn't grow up in a Catholic home. I didn't grow up with a Bible in my home. The only time I ever heard God or Jesus was a curse word coming out of my mother's mouth. You know where the first time I ever heard about Jesus Christ was? In the penitentiary down in Florida. A man came up to me. He was an inmate, preacher. He said, you want to come to a Bible study? I said, no, I do not. I don't get into that nonsense. I don't need religion. I said, I watch all you fools come in and out with this nonsense and doing all. I said, man, you're a good preacher in here. We're outside. You're sitting with a crack pipe out of your mouth. What kind of Jesus is that? He said, just come in here. I said, I can't go in there, man. I said, I don't want that nonsense. He finally convinced me to go in there. And I believe God was working on me at that time. There's a big story behind that. I can't get all into it all. But that man sat down, and he opened up a King James Bible. And for the first time in decades, my conscience started coming back alive. Why? The Bible talks about having a seared conscience and shut off. That's how inmates and addicts, that's how we function. We function with a conscience different than people that are out here in a normal society. We function totally different. That's why a dude can walk up to another guy and put a cap in somebody's head. That's why a lady out there can go out there and have abortions. Why? Because she's lost all, she's past feeling. She doesn't have any natural affections toward human beings. We lose that natural affection. That's why we can kill people and serve them drugs and it doesn't bother. Why? Because our conscience has been shut off. Man, that Bible started waking my conscience up, man. It scared me to death. I ran to the psych doctor and said, look, you got to keep me high. I can't sleep. Give me some Seroquel, Senequans, put me to sleep. That's what we do. We can't get high off of many drugs from the streets coming in. They try to stop all that in there, but then psych doctors will keep you high. Man, they loaded us up with all kinds of medications. Here, take this. You'll sleep good. Three or four days later, you wake up. That's what you do. Why? I didn't know how to handle this book. It's not a self-help book. It's a holy Bible. It's God's word. But people have lost reverence for that Bible. You go, oh man, you're worshiping the Bible. I'm worshiping the one who broke that Bible. Matter of fact, John chapter 1, verse 14 said that he was made flesh. What was made flesh? The word of God. How dare you throw that on the floor? How dare you just be carelessly handling that Bible? It says that's the word of God made flesh. The word of God's a Bible. It's not a self-help book. It's not just some little thing we just cast off when we want to take it out when we don't want to. Oh, I'm going through troubles today, so I guess I'll open it. That's somehow people treat Jesus that way. Everything's going good. They forget about him. As soon as trouble comes, well, God help me. And if God doesn't answer their prayer, you know what they say to him? God, why are you doing this to me? You ain't paying attention to him any other time. You ain't reading his Bible. You ain't getting it. You ain't praying. I'm half praying. We pray like we're anemic Christians. We pray like it doesn't even matter. We read that Bible like it just doesn't matter. Like it's nothing. Why, if I took a raise of hands, some people would be embarrassed. I would say, how many of you prayed and read your Bible this morning? Because that's what we don't think of God. We don't think of him. Man, and isn't it wonderful to wake up with songs in your heart? Isn't it wonderful to wake up and have that Bible going through your mind? That's what I wake up with now in the morning. I don't wake up with the world on my mind. I don't wake up with where I'm going to get high. I don't wake up with what I have to do. I wake up with thinking, man, I get to go into that Bible this morning. I get to get in prayer and have God talk to me. And we get to come to church. You know, church isn't something we do. It's who we are. Why? Because I have the Spirit of God living inside of me. It's not something I do anymore. It's who I am. It's who God made me. It's in my new nature to want that Bible. It's in my new nature to pray to my Heavenly Father. I'm not talking about putting a time on your prayer, but the weight of it. What's the weight of it? What's the essence of your prayer? What is it about? Is it about us? Or is it about others? Is it about something that somebody needs? Is it about somebody? I know we all have lost people in here. We all have lost loved ones in here. How many of you are fasting for? Fasting. My bad. I just cussed in the Baptist church. Fasting. People hate fasting. They don't like to do it anymore, but Jesus Christ instructed us to do it when there's something that they're facing that's more powerful than them. Here it is. That young man, he came, he was his father, and he had devils inside of him. Why couldn't the disciples cast out that devil? Because there was something more about. Now, just a chapter before that, Jesus Christ gave them all power to cast out devils, heal the blind. Did he not? Yes, he did. And why are they standing there and they're not able to do it there? Jesus Christ later on rebuked him. He says, some of these don't come out by prayer and fasting. There are things heavier than who we are, and yet we try to face them every day without Jesus Christ. There are things in our lives that's going to be too big for us. He said, these things don't come out by prayer and fasting. You want to know why some of our loved ones may not be getting saved, even though you're praying and praying and praying? Why don't you try fasting for them? Why don't you try showing God how serious you really are about their salvation? Will he always answer that like that? No, he doesn't. But he sees how serious your heart is. He sees where you really stand. You want to know where we really stand? Let God start taking material stuff out of our life. Let the physical world around us start deteriorating, and we start losing things. We'll see real quick where our heart is. We say that, yeah, man, my heart is for God. I would die for him. I would die for his world. And then as soon as some little thing comes up, bang, we just collapse. How do you know? Because I see them have done COVID. Older folks that are in this room, when things came upon America, they used to run to Christians. When COVID hit America, everybody ran from Christians. Go read Facebook. We're a laughing stock. They're absolutely laughing us out of our churches. They didn't come running to us wanting prayer. They didn't come running to us wanting what we had. Matter of fact, I got a good question. How many of us in this room had somebody come knock on your door this week wanting what you have spiritually? How many come up and say, hey, I see Jesus Christ in your life. Hey, I see you're a different person. Man, I should have. Can you help me? I'm in trouble. Why? Because we fit right in with the world. We talk like the world. We walk like the world. We do everything the world does. And they can't tell us it's being separate. They can't tell us apart. They wouldn't walk up to us. It's hard for me because I got all these tattoos. So I really try to dress So that somebody looks and goes, there's something different about him. Maybe I can go up there and maybe, hey, are you a pastor or are you a missionary or something? Why? Because I want them to do that. I want them to come up to me. I want the opportunity. When we're sitting at the table eating a breakfast, dinner, whatever, and we got a waitress come over, we say, hey, we're going to leave them a track at the end. But it starts way before the track. We'll look at it, that waiter or waitress or whatever it is and we'll say, hey, we're missionaries. Going to pray for our meal here. You got something we can pray for you? Name us anything. And next thing you know, the whole conversation started. It got so hot one time that my wife had to get up and she had to hug the waitress. She's just bawling while she's going through all this stuff. She's going through all these hard times and nobody cared. They just want to yell at her. They just want to scream at her and tell her how bad she's done, how horrible her service is. And yet we're supposed to be Christians. Ask my family, are you allowed to say anything if they mess anything up at the table? No, they're not. Eat it just the way it is. And we'll give her a bigger tip when we leave. Christian. We're able to talk with people. Why? Because that's what God sent us forth. Not just to sit around and cross our arms and enjoy our own salvation, but to get out there to people. Help them in any way. Get personal with them. Well, can I pray for you, hon? And some of them go, hey, I'm okay. I don't need prayer. We're all right. We'll go, hey, we're going to pray for you anyway. Matter of fact, they're on my prayer list. I still pray for them. She works at Perkins over there where I live. And there's two more that work at Walmart. They tell me they're okay every time I ask them, but I still pray for them anyway. Why? I want to see them saved. I'm burning for people. We're in the last days. We're in the perilous times. People are dropping off in hell quicker than at any other time. And we just sit back and put our feet up. God never told us to put it in neutral coast to heaven. At least he didn't mean. He doesn't allow me to do that. And I thank God that doesn't allow me to do that. I want to see people get saved. I want to, when I get up to heaven, have them up there.
Amen.
How do we get on that? I don't know. That's a freebie. God has his own mind. I can write stuff down all day long. Doesn't mean God's going to follow it. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is a spiritual birth that takes place inside of a believer. Not some religious works or turning over a new leaf. This is something that happens on the inside of a person. And they know that woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, she said when she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, she said that she felt something happen inside of her. When I got saved, I knew something happened inside of me. I'm not kidding you. I've had 16 back surgeries. I've had all kinds of neck surgeries and bicep surgeries. I got up off that floor like, whoa, man, if I could have did a backflip, I would have did a backflip, but we're outside preaching that night. For the first time in decades, I went to bed without sleeping pills. I didn't have to drink myself to sleep. Why? Because I had a clean conscience. Jesus Christ had just forgiven a man that did not deserve forgiveness. Any of you ever write songs about chopping up Jesus Christ's mother on the altar of sacrifice? That's what I used to sing them songs. I used to sing songs about torturing Jesus myself, and I did with my life. I got something to be thankful for. There ain't a person in this room who don't. You're breathing today. Regardless of what condition you're in, God in his mercy has you sitting in these church pews.
Amen.
Do you thank him for it?
Yeah. Oh,
America, we got it way too good, brother. We got it so good we forget about God. We don't need him. God help us. 1 John 3:24. I'm going to read this. You don't have to turn there. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. So he says to keep his commandments. And hereby we know, and not maybe, or not hope so. He says, hereby we know that he abideth in us. How do we know that he abides in us? By the Spirit which he hath given us. God has given us a spirit that we will know. We don't have to hope anymore. We don't have to sit there every day and go, man, I sure hope. That don't have to happen anymore. Why? Because God, the Bible says, God put a spirit inside of us that we may know that we're his children. Ain't that wonderful?
Yeah.
What a wonderful, wonderful God to look down upon a dirt ball such as myself. Me and my friend, we call ourselves Bob. What's Bob mean? Bottom of the barrel. God sure had to reach deep to pull me out of the bottom of the barrel. And you know what he did? Not only did he pull me out of the bottom of the barrel, but he forgave me for everything. And then he put a spirit inside of me. He says, now you're my child. A child of God. Oh my goodness. A child of God, one who hated it with every bit of that I could, one who lived defiled and against him every way that I could, not only with just my life, but with my mouth and my heart and with my thoughts. I hated God with a perfect hatred and the way I lived out there. And when, look, here's what happened. And then here's me. Jesus, wonderful. Take this purple coat and put it on you. And by the way, here, how about this crown of thorns? Bang! Let me take your beard here. Let me turn you around and beat you with that cat of nine tails for a little bit. Oh, by the way, I'm not done with you yet. I'm still going to hang you on the cross. You ever think, when's the last time you thought about what Jesus Christ really paid for you? Before the cross. Before he hung on that cross. And if you hear, and they're going to let me come up to you and spit on you, wow, your beard looks good, buddy. You gonna let me just come up, rip your beard out of your face, put a purple robe on you and mock you? No. Nope, we ain't doing it. In spite of everything we've done, in spite of every thought that ever crossed our mind, in spite of every iniquity that was bitter in our heart, Jesus Christ still said, I'm doing this for them. And we live our life like garbage. We live our life like God did not even die for us. His spirit is not even in us. Studying has just become something we do. It's become a religious work. Praying has just become halfway. It's just something that we do. Got to hurry up and do this. Got to hurry up and do this. Got to hurry up and do this. Got to get this done. And then we don't even study throughout the day. Studying only has to consist of 10, 15 minutes. Go look up a few words and say, Lord, here, this is the time that I have. You know what studying does? If you have to give up time. You have to make time to study. You have to make time to study. We set a time apart to read. Wonderful, man. That's good. That gets our blood flowing, our juices flowing. But then studying means you have to make time to study. Because it's going to be an interference in your life. Studying will become an interference in your life. And you have to go fight all through that and get down there and just study. You go, I don't know what to study. Well, there's a lot of words in that book. Just take out one word and look it through the whole entire Bible. And when you're done looking that up in the whole entire Bible, you'll know exactly what that word means. That's how I study. If I want to know a meaning, I don't go look in the dictionary. Sometimes I will compare it to the Oxford English Dictionary, okay? And I pay $100 a year for that because that's the closest that we get to the English, Old English, okay? That's the Old English that we're here. And I come closest to the King James Bible. But if I really want to know a word, I will take that word and run it through every single place that it's found in that Bible. And when I'm done, I know exactly what that word means. And guess who had to tell me that? God. But it took time. It took time. Study the tabernacle, Exodus chapter 25 through Exodus 40. Study the first five chapters of Leviticus, the Levitical sacrifices. You go do all those mean anything, they will show you Jesus. If you think for one second you don't need the Old Testament, well, if you're married in here, or you got a girlfriend or fiance or whatever it is, when you first met her, you wanted to know everything about her. You want to know her smell. You want to know her favorite colors. You want to know everything about her. Why? Because you were interested in her. Well, why wouldn't we want to do that with God? Why wouldn't we want to see what he has in the Old Testament concerning the future? Because it's all there. There's not a place in that book in the Old Testament that I can't show you Jesus. Amen. It takes studying. But I'll tell you what, it is 100% worth it. You know why? Because Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a Jew. I mean, he knew that Old Testament more than anybody on this planet. Why did God save him? To teach the Gentiles, those who were without the law. Why? So that we could see Jesus Christ in it. He wanted us to understand what he went through in that law and those prophecies. He says he came to, what, not destroy the laws and the prophets, but to fulfill them. So why would you want to know? Everybody goes to prophecy conference because they're, you know, they want to know the prophet. He says law and prophets. He didn't just say prophecy. He said the law too. Do you know what laws Jesus Christ had to fulfill? All 623 of them, plus the Ten Commandments. Do you know them? Then how do you know what he really paid for you? How do you know what he really done? There's a good study for you right there. I've done it, and I love it, and I do it over and over. You know why? Because every time I do it, something changes. I see something, I had that messed up. Let's put that in its proper place. But Paul, when he teaches, he's teaching the Old Testament. He's showing us back. He's referencing something always back in the Old Testament. He's bringing it into the New Testament, showing you exactly what Jesus Christ had to go through, what he had to fulfill, and what he's done for us. Do we live by the Old Testament? No, we've been made free from that. Okay? We don't have to live by them anymore. We're not bound by that stuff. But boy, it sure is. When I met my wife, I wanted to know everything about her. I wanted to know her colors. I wanted to know what she liked to wear. I'd like to know what she liked to eat. Man, what a wonderful thing that was to get to know her. Oh, by the way, 21 years and we're still getting to know each other. Why? Because that's a marriage built on the Bible, not us. Don't you want to still get to know Jesus? Well, let me just ask you this question when I close. What spirit is witnessing to your spirit? Is it your own spirit trying to witness to your own spirit, trying to convince yourself? Because as an ex-convict, I would take knowledge. Sister, when I came home from prison, I knew all kinds of stuff. I read all kinds of stuff, whether it be Muslim, whether it be Christian, whether it was Buddhist, whether it was Indian. I read all that. And what I would do is try to take that knowledge and I would try to convince people of something that I wasn't. Because knowledge, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8:1, knowledge puffeth up. It makes people think they're something they're not. But the Spirit of God will show you exactly what you are. The Spirit of God that witnesses from this book will witness with your spirit exactly where you stand with Him. It will show you. And you know what? God wants to teach you. Above all things, God wants you to know this book. He wants you to understand it. But look, here's the best thing. He wants you to live it. He didn't just give us a Bible to know. God could care less of how many verses I know. He's looking down from heaven to see how many I can live. You can know a million verses if you want. If you can't live one of them, it's trash. God gave us a Bible to live, not just know. Most people are just trying to know the Bible. Knowledge is very prevalent in this day and age, but knowledge isn't helping people. Salvation of Jesus Christ, repentance, and getting to know this book and living it is what's going to help people. Now, who am I supposed to turn it over to? Am I just closing it? Are you?